So, Yusuke Kuno will tell us about the symplectic and special expansions for surfaces.
Thank you for the introduction. So, first of all, I'd like to thank Anton and Roland, for inviting me.
It's so, not our money, you know, it's really CRM should be thanked.
Yeah, I should also thank you. So it's my great pleasure to give a talk today. Yeah. So, a part of this talk is for some introduction to this notion, symplectic or special expansions for surfaces, more precisely for the fundamental group of surfaces. Actually, symplectic expansions was explained by Guenard's talk in Monday, and also, I will call it again. And part of this talk is based on the joint work with Anton Fixiv and Talia Kazmi and Florian Lane. So let me start with a review of what Anton talked about last week. It is about the Goldman Tulip Pi algebra. So it is a really interesting algebraic structure built from free loops on the surface. So let me use this notation sigma for a surface, oriented surface of genus G with n plus 1 boundary components. So G and N are non-negative integers, so in particular this implies that the surface has no empty boundary. So, for example, if G and N are both 1, then surface looks like this. And pick a base point on some boundary component, then we can take a free generating set for the fundamental group of the surface. Then, for example, say the generators alpha 1, da, 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 alpha g, beta 1, da, 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 beta g, and gamma 1, da, 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 gamma 1. So, for example, in this picture, say alpha 1, this is alpha 1, beta 1, and gamma 1. So, G and N are both 1. The Goldman Tulip Pi algebra is. So Goldman Tulip Pi algebra. So it is a triple G sigma and bracket, the Goldman bracket. And the track problem. Right. So G sigma is the underlying vector space of this structure. And G sigma is the vector space. I use rational numbers for coefficients. So the vector space spanned by the homotopy classes of free loops on sigma. So in another description, so this can be identified with the group algebra of the fundamental group. Divided by its commutators. Uh, there is a natural map from this to this by forgetting the base point of a base group, and this gives some isomorphism between these two spaces. And this is the Goldman bracket. And so, for example, let me explain by using an example. So, for example, let me take a free loop alpha like this, and then another free loop beta like this. Then, so they intersect in one point. In this case, the Goldman bracket. In general, it is a formal linear combination of free loops, the homotopy classes of free loops, but in this case there is only one intersection, so there will be only one term, and it is like as follows. So at the intersection point, you can take the composition of these two loops by using the intersection as a base point. So the result is like, this is the Goldman bracket. And this operation is the tricycle bracket. And actually, it is a framed version. So in order to define it, I need to fix a framing, the trivialization of the tangent bundle of the surface. So for example, let me consider this example. So this is a surface of genus 0 with three boundary components. And for example, let me take F. This is a framing. I use in this example F to be the blackboard framing. Then consider free loop alpha. In general, it will have a self-intersection like this. So in this case, there is only one self-intersection alpha. So let me call it E. Then at each self-intersection of alpha, say E, you can divide the loop alpha into two parts. This part. So this is alpha dash b, and also I have this part. Before doing this, I need to assume that. So here I have a framing. So take a free loop alpha and represent it as a generic immersion. And also by inserting some monogons, I also assume that the rotation number of alpha with respect to the framing is zero. And after that, I apply this construction. So I divide the loop alpha into two parts at each self-intersection. Then the tricycle bracket of alpha is given by alpha. So this is alpha dash b, wrench alpha dash dash b. And in general, you take the sum over all the self intersections. So this is the structure which I am going to be interested in. So, and as was explained in Anton's talk, there is a naturally defined filtration on this space, and actually these two operations are compatible with the filtration on G sigma. So we can make a graded version of this structure. So graded version. Yeah. So before describing this graded version of this, I need to say some words about the graded version of the group algebra. And in this case, the graded version of the group algebra is isomorphic to the A. So A is the free associative algebra generated by two G plus N generators, X1, XG, Y1, YG, and maybe V1, Vn, where, for example, X1 corresponds to element alpha 1 minus 1 in the group algebra, etc. Okay, then the graded quotient of G sigma with respect to the filtration is identified with the algebra A divided by its commutators. And for this stage, I use the notation, the absolute value of A. And more practically, we can think of this space as the space spanned by cyclic words in generators of this associative algebra. So cyclic words in maybe X generators, Y generators, and Z generators. So for example, consider the word x1, y2, z3. Then if I view it as a cyclic word, then you can apply a cyclic permutation to this word to get a different expression. This will be the same under this absolute value notation. So maybe more pictorially, it can be written as like this. Determined by the topology of surface, so by G and N necklace. And the formality question about the Goldman deep algebra, formality question. Asks if the Goldman deep algebra itself is isomorphic to its graded version as deep algebra. More precisely, actually, I need to take some completion to each of these spaces. This is the review about the formality question about the rebalancing. So in this talk, I'd like to address this problem. So now I'd like to say a few words about the motivation for considering this problem. One motivation. So I'd like to explain the motivation. So maybe for simplicity, let me assume that n is equal to 0 for the moment. So motivation basically comes from a study of the structure of the mapping class group on the surface. And it is so-called Johnson, a study of Johnson homomorphisms. So let me briefly explain what it is. So here I consider the mapping class group of surface sigma. So M is the mapping class group of sigma. So this is the group of diffeomorphism or homeomorphism of the surface, such that restrictions to the boundary component is the identity. So phi restricted to the boundary is the identity. And I divide it by the isotopy. Relative to the boundary. So this is the mapping class group. Now, this mapping class group, there is a natural action of this group on the fundamental group of sigma, because here I assume that the diffeomorphism must reserve the boundary component. Then, point-wise, then if I take a base point from the boundary, then it will act on the fundamental group. Then by using this action, more precisely by using the induced action on the nilpotent quotient of on the fundamental group, one can introduce filtration on this group. Which is called the Johnson filtration. This is the Johnson equation. So the first term is the mapping class group itself, and the second one, N1, is the trail group. So this is the trail group. The group acting on the homology of the surface trivial. And yes. By using this filtration. So for this purpose,
so is m2 the square of m1?
Excuse me?
Is m2 the square of m1, or is it more complicated?
is M2?
What is M2?
M2, okay. M2 is the, okay. So M1 is the kernel of the action of M on the first homology of the sigma. And the first homology of sigma is written as the fundamental group divided by its commutators. So this is the description of M1. And M2 is the kernel of the action on second step nilpotent quotient of pi. So this is pi1 divided by Dennis Johnson introduced algebraic machinery to study this filtration. So now let N be the free re-algebra generated by 2G letters x1 as xg and y1 as yz. And let H be some graded algebra. So this is the re-algebra of positive degree derivations on a free re-algebra A, which annihilates this element in degree 2. So this is this corresponds to a symplectic form on the surface. So in Gwenaël's talk, this re-algebra is denoted by a th. This re-algebra th in Gwenaël's talk. And as was explained by Gwenaël, this has a description in terms of a Jacobi diagram. So then, what is the Johnson homomorphism? So actually, this filtration is central. So one can make the graded quotient of this filtration. So I consider this graded sum. Then by using the commutator as a re-bracket, this becomes a graded re-algebra. And so we would like to understand this re-algebra. And the Johnson homomorphism is an embedding of this graded re-algebra into this re-algebra H. So this is a graded re-algebra. So this is the Johnson homomorphism. Okay. So this is the embedding of the graded re-algebra. So I don't explain how it is constructed, but this is so. And the main and the main problem about this main question about this construction is the so-called Johnson image problem. To compute the kernel of tau. So the kernel of tau. And when considering this problem, we will usually consider over the rationals. Okay. So actually, this embedding is not subjective, and the main question is what is the image, or in other words, what is the co-kernel? Actually, this is okay. Actually, this is a big result by Henning. So actually, this image tensored with Q is actually generated as a very clear algebra in degree 1 part. So degree 1 part is in tau 1 tensor with Q, and this is actually isomorphic to the third x to the power of the first homology of the surface. So in some sense, the solution to this problem has already been given, but here I'd like to stress that what we would like to know is the co-kernel. There are several important results about this problem. And first of all, Shigeyuki Morita first found that this map is not subjective. So he found some obstruction for the subjectivity of this map. So maybe I should mention names. Answer to this problem. So there are several works about small k, say by Morita or Hain and Asada Nakamura, and recently Morita in a series of joint works by Morita, Sakasai, they have determined the Johnson co-kernel for k equal to 5, 6, 7 by using some huge computer calculations. And there are also other works about the obstruction for the subjectivity. For example, Enomoto, Sato, and also Conan, and also Conan, Kasabov, Okuma. So they have found some obstructions for the subjectivity in many ways. And here I'd like to focus on one of these obstructions, namely this one, Enomoto-Sato space. Enomoto Sato stories. So this is a map. I use ES. So this is a map from H. So this is a map from the target of the Johnson homomorphism to the space A bar. So this is a space that's spanned by cyclic walls. Actually, this is a Lie algebra 1 to cycle. And they show that the composition of the Johnson homomorphism and this map ES is trivial. So this gives an obstruction for suggestivity. And actually, so mapping graph loop, so in this setting, this can be regarded as a subgroup of the automorphism group of this fundamental group. So this is a free group. And there is a parallel story for about the Johnson homomorphisms for automorphisms of a free group. And Sato has shown that there is the same construction for this story. And Sato showed that this map is very powerful in the sense that in a stable range, this map completely determines the co-kernel. So, and our motivation, one of our motivation is to understand this map in topologically. And actually, it turns out that this map is, in some sense, this is coincides with the graded version of the Dirac theorem. So here, the statement is not so precise, but let me read here. Okay. So now, if this the structure, the Bodman-Tirac Lie algebra, is formal. So if the structure is formal, then this implies that the Enomoto Sato space coincides with the ungraded version of the trifecobratus. So we can, in some sense, we can give a topological interpretation of this map. So Matryoshka of this structure. So this is the first door of Matryoshka, and maybe there will be a second one, and so on. And finally, we get this image. And one goal is to understand each door from topological point of view. Then I give a question for test. data is called generalized modulus expansion, or data is called group-like expansion, or tangential expansion, or special expansion. Sorry for many terminologies. Special expansion. If the following conditions are met. Okay, let me write five conditions. So first condition is theta gamma is equal to 1 plus the homology class of gamma, so this is in degree 1, plus terms of degree at least 2. This is the first condition. And the second condition is theta is multiplicative, so theta of gamma dash is equal to theta of gamma times theta of gamma dash in A hat. And the third condition is that for any gamma, the logarithm of theta gamma is a group-like element in a tensor algebra, completed tensor algebra. And so this is a Hopper algebra, and a set of primitive elements is exactly the same as the free algebra generated by the same generators. This is the third condition. And the fourth condition seems more technical. For any j from 1 to n, there exists some group-like element, such that theta of gamma j is equal to theta exponential of minus uj times exponential of uj times exponential of uj. The meaning of this will be clear later. Topological meaning. Finally, the last condition is theta of gamma 0 is equal to exponential of the following elements. So the summation of x, the bracket, e bracket of x, I, plus sum of gj's. And this is, okay. So this is, this I consider these five conditions. And I haven't finished the definition yet. And theta is called a generalized Magnus expansion if the first two conditions are satisfied. Generalized Magnus. And theta is called a group-like if the first three conditions are satisfied. And theta is tangential if the the first four conditions are satisfied. Tangential. And then finally, theta is special if all the conditions are satisfied. Special. And maybe I didn't explain gamma zero. Gamma zero is a loop parallel to the boundary component in which I take the base point. terms of generators, it can be written as the product of commutators of alpha I and beta I and the product of gamma j. J is at least one. And for later use, I will use the notation omega for this element. So what are the meanings of the conditions? Then this extends canonically to a map from the completion of the group algebra to delta. So, A hat. And A hat is canonically identified with. A-hat is canonically identified with the graded version of a group algebra with completion. And so, okay, if the first two conditions are satisfied, then this map will be isomorphism as a filtered algebra. And if I take the associated gradient of theta, then this is the identity. And further, if moreover, the third condition is satisfied, then this isomorphism is promoted to isomorphism as a completed Hopf algebra. And there are more conditions, 4 and 5, and there might be more and more conditions, maybe 6 and 7, 8, I don't know. But then this isomorphism, we respect, I hope, we hope that this isomorphism will respect the topology of the surface. And this, I hope this will help us to understand the Johnson image problem, for instance.
So is it clear how unique is theta? Is it clear how unique is theta, assuming 1 through 5, say?
Okay. So, for example, if you have the first two conditions, then, for example, I think I will come back to this later, maybe. The set of generalized Magnus expansions. Is a poser of the group of filter preserving algebra isomorphism of A, and such that the associated gradient is the identity. And this is by taking the logarithm, this is identified with the space of positive derivations on on the algebra A hat. And for the group like expansion, this will be replaced by the positive derivations of L. And for special expansions, maybe I need let me simplify things by assuming that n is zero. Then special expansions. This is also called symplectic expansions in this case. Symplectic. As I will tell you soon, this is actually non-empty, and this is an order of x of the positive degree part of the real algebra H. This is maybe.
The
first example was implicitly given by the work of Habegger and Maspero. By using the Kontsevich integral. And case n equal to 0, the first example was given by Kawatomi via some complex analytic method. And then in this case, the method was complex analytic. And we have to consider over the real numbers. And example over rational numbers or any field of characteristic zero was given by when I mash you by using LM of R2. But in these constructions, they use some, in some sense, transcendental method, but actually there is a very elementary combinatorial way of constructing special expansions. So there is also some combinatorial method. The construction is by degree by degree to construct special expansions. Okay. So I was thinking to have some digression here if I have maybe more than 14 minutes, but maybe not, so I can let me skip this part.
What would it have been about?
Okay.
No, just the title, not the content.
Okay, so as I said, about the uniqueness issue. So for example, as I said, the set of generalized Magnus expansions, they are the action of the group IA automorphism group of A hat. And actually, there is another group action of the automorphism group of a free group. Say, if free group acting on this case, and what I would like to wanted to talk about is the stabilizer of this action. Okay, let me skip this part.
Makes sense over the Z, integral, integer coefficient, in some sense. So, is it possible to have an existence of special Magnus expansion over integral, integer?
No, if you have this condition, then you will need rationals, because you will use exponential. Then, so to consider group-like conditions, I need to consider over a field of characteristic E. Okay, so now let me go back to the formality question about the Goldman trap. D by the graph, so first
I'd like to talk about the Gaussmann formality. And here I will have a main result of this. So let me recall a previous result about special or simplified expansions. This is Kazumi and myself, and also independent work by Masio Kirai. So now let me assume that the expansion data is special. So what was the special condition? This one. So this respects to the fact that the fundamental group has a very special element corresponding to the boundary. You can get the associated map from the Goldman algebra to its graded version, because recall that this is the group algebra divided by commutators, and also this is associative algebra A divided by the commutator. Maybe there should be some completion process here, so I put hat everywhere. So we get this map. And since theta induces filtered algebra in general for group-like expansions, maybe for generalized Magnus expansions, theta induces filtered isomorphism from the completed group algebra to A hat. So this map will be an isomorphism as a filtered vector spaces. If I put this condition, speciality about theta, then this is a real algebra homomorphism. This is a state. So this special condition solves the formality question about the Goldman bracket. And actually, the result which I will talk about now is saying that, in some sense, the converse of this statement holds. This is a joint work with Alex Anton, Daria Kami, and Dorian. So assume that theta is a group rank. And assume also that the associated map here, this is a map from G sigma to group GC, G sigma, maybe hat. And these D algebra isomorphism. I assume. Then statement is that theta is actually a tangential. And there is element U0 in F such that theta of gamma 0 is equal to the exponential of minus u0 times exponential of omega times exponential of u0. Namely, in short, this can be stated as the theta is tangential at every boundary component of the sums. Every boundary component of the sums. Theta is tangential at every boundary component. We can't eliminate this term because I can remove this term without changing the associated map here. Because this is in the absolute value setting, then this will no effect here. So we don't get a special condition, but we get a conjugate of a special condition. And also this also explains that to have the Goldman formality, to get the formality of the Goldman bracket, this condition, maybe it seems strange for first sight, this condition is needed. We need this condition to have the Goldman formality. Now, I have.
Seeing that it is tangential at every boundary component could be misleading because the homology class of gamma zero. We could understand that it would send the homology class of gamma zero to the conjugate, exponential of the homology class conjugate. But it is not easy, it is the exponential of omega conjugate.
Okay.
This component, so if I translate directly tangential the full condition to gamma zero, it would not say that. The fourth did say that gamma j goes to a conjugate of the exponential of the homology class of this boundary component.
If g and n are both positive, then we use different grading for yeah, homology classes corresponding to the boundary and also and to other homology classes.
Mm-hmm.
Say, we have, so I think in the, for example, if n, if g is zero, then maybe, do you agree?
Yeah, no, it's just what I'm doing.
Somehow base point for the set of group-like expansions. then you have any group-like expansion. Can be written as theta exponential composed with some automorphism of a free algebra. So any group-like expansion is of the form theta f, where theta f is a composition of f inverse. This is just a matter of notation convention. Inverse with theta exponential. The map from pi to a hat, where maybe for some f in pi a automorphism of a free V algebra. So let theta f be a group-like expansion. it is written as a composition of f and theta exponential, as was explained there. So f is in IA homomorphism of f. Then so theta f induces a filtered isomorphism from G sigma to the underlying vector space of Boltzmann trivial algebra to its graded version. Then this is a Y algebra isomorphism if and only if the following two conditions are satisfied. And first condition is a modified version of the first condition of the Kashiwara-Bellman problem. And F is tangential. And there is some element L0 in free ring algebra such that F maps the D bracket of X and Y to the following element. So E to the X, E to the Y, E to the minus X, E to the minus y conjugated by the exponential of L0.
Maybe log or exponential somewhere, right? It's
thank you, yeah. That's right. Thank you. Yeah, this is a group like element, so I need to get the lowest. Of the so-called non-commutative version of divergence. budgets. So this is the first statement, and there is also second statement. So this statement characterizes
so can I ask?
Yes.
So two questions. First of all, does age have a geometrical meaning in this context?
H
of t, this one variable power series.
H
of t in at the top of the board, right? Does it have a geometrical meaning in this context? And the second question is, the word divergence, does it have a meaning in this context, or is it borrowed, or is it just borrowed from somewhere else?
For the second question, we are using analogy from Alexei Moshe.
Okay.
So I.
But this cannot be seen, like you cannot sort of turn it into geometry. This is divergence in this context.
In context of your talk, wouldn't you use in a Motosata trace instead? Why the radio you already have? In a Motosata trace, yeah. So.
So this divergence perspective, it is almost the same as the N-Motosata trace. Same N-Motosata trace in this situation.
Okay.
I don't know if this answers your question.
No, but okay. and again, the geometrical meaning for H of t? If there is one, maybe the answer is no, that's fair.
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know.
What is the word on the top of L0? Is that linear?
I just can't see. Okay. So L0, this is an element in free
diagram. Yeah.
So this is graded. So I take the linear part of it. So this is an element of the homology. And I just put the absolute value.
Okay.
That's okay. Linear part of L0. But actually, I don't need to take this one. Because this is a reward of length 2, then if you take the absolute value, then this is just 0. Then to finish, the second statement is that actually solutions of so we can solve the informality question about the Goldman derived deep algebra. And I think I have actually so these two conditions in the first statement is a little bit of problem of the problem in this positive genus setting. This statement follows from the previous theorem about the characterization of expansions inducing the Goldman formality and our previous result about the positive genus Kashiwara problem and its relation to this formality of the Goldman triangle. But I just write this theorem as, how to say, formulating the situation. And also solutions
the existence of solutions followed from our previous talk.
I don't know about. Okay, maybe sorry, but let me stop here. Thank you for your attention.
Any questions?
I'm not sure. I actually have some comments, but I don't know. But it's
that counts. That's fine.
Okay. So I maybe have two comments. One about this function, or maybe one about the complicated formula in KV2 prime. So as Yusuke said, J is some kind of co-cycle, but basically you can, I think, put all those complicated terms with the exception of H into the definition of the co-cycle. So since anyway, it's right, we don't speak too much about what this co-cycle is, It would have given a somewhat simple equation. J of f is equal to absolute value of h of psi. So and whatever, and probably that would be a good cocycle. Whatever some j tilde. So this kind of maybe one shouldn't pay too much attention to those details. So then on the meaning of h of psi. So h of psi is a power series, and it has even terms and odd terms. So even terms are always the same, and they're given by the Bernoulli numbers. So one can ask about their meaning, but they're fixed once and for all. One cannot change them. And the odd terms one can choose, and this corresponds to the action of GRT on the space of those Fs. So it can probably be given some kind of meaning. So GRT acts, and the small trace of this GRT action is are those odd coefficients of H. And maybe the last comment, so in fact, Yusuke made the topological side of it more explicit, but actually this whole thing is mainly an algebraic work, mainly actually due to Yusuke. And that's a novel thing about how you characterize conjugacy classes in a free Lie algebra. I think the main result is about the following. Suppose, like abstractly, you can ask the following question. So you have two elements in a free Lie algebra. So are they conjugate to each other? So it has the following counterpart in ordinary linear algebra. Suppose you have two matrices, let's say complex matrices or real matrices. So you want to know whether they are conjugate to each other. You can ask, is it enough to know that their eigenvalues are the same? Right? Of course, we teach it in linear algebra, that, well, actually, that's not enough, right? There might be those Jordan blocks. And what Yusuke proved in several contexts of this free Lie algebra calculus, that in the at the universal level, because right, free Lie algebras, these are some huge matrices one can see. So at the universal level, this doesn't happen. So there are no Jordan blocks in the universal calculus. There, if the spectra, or whatever, the spectra, or the analog of the spectra are the same, then the expressions are actually conjugate. So, and I think that's, I mean, it's a little bit of pity that we, right, but that's the result behind this, previous theorem, the Goldman formality, and that I think is a very interesting observation, just about free Lie algebras.
So maybe let me give a more precise statement.
Well, then I think that would be good to have at least an example of.
So this is so key proposition of maybe theorem to the proof of the first theorem. Theorem one. Maybe G the group-like element in tensor algebra, and assume that g absolute value is equal to exponential of omega, then they are continuous. So there is group-like element, and g is equal to h0 times exponential of omega times h0. This is a key statement for proving the first result.
How much does it depend on omega, on the right hand side there being e to the omega?
Could so actually, if you replace this general Dirac element, then we don't have a proof for this. The proof works only for this special omega. Maybe you can generalize somehow a little bit. Basically, we use the essentially the form of this element.
Maybe omega could also be any degree one element.
In any degree one element?
Yeah, degree one, right? Yes. The degree one was an easier state.
Degree one. Yeah. In this case, this is.
Further questions? So let's thank you, Suke, once again.